I'm joined in studio now by Jenny Branigan, who's a chartered physiotherapist from Total Physio. And we're going to talk about back pain because I understand it's something many will experience at some point in their lives. And it can be a curse, I gather. It can absolutely destroy people with pain. What are the most common causes here?
Well, Marion, yes. I mean, it can certainly be very serious for some people, but for the majority of people, it's really not a huge issue. It really needs to be thought about as a fact of life, because really about 80% of us will suffer from back pain at some point in our lives, but the majority of us will not have a serious issue with it, and most of us will just get on with things after a couple of weeks' time. So, I mean, the most important thing you need to think about with back pain is that you need to keep moving through it. A lot of people fear back pain, and as soon as they have pain, they stop moving, they stop functioning, they try not to go to work, they try to rest, they go to bed, they don't go out and play football like they used to. But actually, we have to keep people mobile when they have back pain, because movement is the thing that helps to heal it.
So do not go take to the bed, do not take time off work.
Absolutely not. You need to keep moving. Now, you may need to modify your movements a little, move a little slower, maybe, you know, reduce the amount of movement that you're doing overall, but keep moving. Movement and activity is really important for healing back pain.
And what kind of movement in particular?
Anything, whatever you like to do. So there's no one great activity that you need to do. You need to do whatever you like. So if you like to walk, then you keep walking. If you like to jog, you might need to jog a little slower, or maybe change the surface that you're jogging on. Or you might even need to walk at a faster pace until you feel up to the jogging again. If you like to dance again, you might need to move a little slower than you normally would if you have some pain. But whatever movement you like to do is the movement you need to continue doing.
Right. Now, the back seems to be, to put it mildly, a rather important thing, but a very complex thing. So
yes,
the structures that can be injured.
So there are many different structures in the back, and certainly what we'll most commonly see are injuries to the intervertebral discs. So they're the cushions that are between the vertebrae in our back. So the vertebrae are the bony structures, the scaffolding of our spine, and then the discs are the cushions between those vertebrae, which allow this shock absorbency in the spine. So they can get injured.
How?
Oh, in a myriad of ways, but the most common presentation for a disc injury would tend to be someone who has forward bent and lifted a heavy object that they're not used to lifting. And then if they rotate in that forward bent position while they're lifting, that would be a classic mechanism of injury for the disc.
So say if you're putting luggage up and overhead, that would be an example of that?
That could be an example of a mechanism of injury that could aggravate your back. So again, what you need to think about then is how heavy is the bag that you're going to lift? Are you fit enough in your normal daily life that you can then go and lift this heavy bag up high? Sometimes we see it with people who maybe go and play golf. They've sat in their car for a long period of time to get to the golf course, and then they lift a heavy golf bag and rotate to lift it out of the boot of the bag. So if you're fit and you're strong and you're active in your daily life, that shouldn't cause you too much of a problem. But if you're sedentary and you're not active and you're not mobile, you have to consider the weight of what you might be lifting and the position that you're in while you're lifting it, so that you maybe change how you move and you use your strong leg muscles, you bend the knees instead of bending the back, for example, and you just try and modify and think about what you're going to do so that you're preparing your body and making sure you're fit for what you're about to do.
Okay. What about nerve root pain? What's that?
So nerve root pain can happen when you have an irritation in the disc where you start to get a protrusion of some of the disc contents and it presses on the nerve. So that doesn't sound very nice at all.
No.
And when the nerve gets compressed, you can get pain down along the distribution of that nerve. So we refer to that as radiated pain or referred pain. So somebody might come in and they might have pain down the back of their thigh, but it could be coming from their back because of a nerve root compression in that area.
And what can you do about that?
So what we would do is we would look at the reasons why that pain is occurring, and we would try and minimize load. For example, if they've been doing a lot of heavy lifting, say for example in the gym, if they started a gym program where the load of the weights was too heavy for them, we would look at the position that they work in, for example, if they're doing a lot of sitting, a lot of driving. So we look at how much their spine is being loaded and why that increased load is causing them a problem, and then we try and reduce that reduce their pain in the process and then build them back up to the point where they can do what they need to do.
And is that done through physio or is it done through intervention?
The majority of it would be done with physio, but there are of course certain cases where the physio intervention only goes so far, and then you might need the help of, you know, maybe an injection or, you know, a nerve root block or something like that.
So
then,
which sounds very scary.
Which again is very rare. So it's important to not fear if you have back pain that that's where you're going to end up, because it's a very small percentage of people that end up at that point. So again, there are always options, but for the majority of people, it will settle through just reducing the load activities, making sure that you reduce that pain and then build them back up to be strong enough to bear those loads.
And if you can't?
And if you can't, again, then we would refer you, your chartered physio would refer you to your GP and refer you on to a specialist in that area then. So again, if you weren't recovering as we would expect you to, we wouldn't delay, we would send you on for a referral.
Right, and that involves an injection?
It depends. It really depends on what the case may be. So every case will be different, and every case will be based on what your past injury history and your back will be. So maybe somebody who's had a lot of repeated episodes of this might end up at that point. But if you're looking after yourself well and you're trying to stay fit and active and strong in your muscles, then it's more unlikely that you would end up there.
Right, because you hear of people that back pain is just a disaster in their lives all the time.
Absolutely,
anyway.
Absolutely. It does happen. But again, it's important not to be fearful of that, because it is a small percentage.
Right. Okay. So when should you start looking after your back?
We should always be doing it.
When we're in problems is when people do. But anyway.
That's it. We should be always trying to stay active, really. I mean, the more sedentary we are, the more likely we are to have a problem with our backs. So prolonged sitting, not changing your position frequently, you know, that's something that we're always talking to patients about, is trying to get people to move more. Movement is medicine. You may have heard this.
Yeah.
It's all about trying to keep yourself
active.
But
if you're sitting in front of an iPad or a computer all day.
Yeah, so what you need to do is build in frequent breaks into your day then. So instead of going to the bathroom in, you know, beside where you're working, run up two flights of stairs to go to the bathroom and come back down. So then you get a nice movement break. Instead of emailing a colleague or phoning them, walk over to your colleague and speak to them so that you've had that movement break again and that opportunity to get your back mobile again.
Okay. Okay. A couple of questions in, well, our comments indeed. The first one says, I lost a stone and my back pain went away. Does that surprise you?
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. So that's very common in any load-bearing joints. If you have to carry more weight and more load, it's that load I was talking about earlier.
Yes.
The more you have to carry, the more your body has to exert that force to carry it. So if you lose weight, your joints have to bear more load. So yes, that will be relevant for the back, for the hip, for the knees, across the board.
It would put you off lifting up children, wouldn't it, all of this? Because they can be quite a load. But anyway, Marion, read the back. I would recommend water exercise, especially early in the morning. Best thing ever. It's like oiling the cogs.
Yes, I would agree with absolutely that, listener. So first thing in the morning is a very important point, because that sets you up for a more flexible, mobile day. Some people get up and they're a bit stiff in the morning. So if you get flexible and mobile first thing, you'll have a better day of movement. But yes, the water is fantastic. The buoyancy of the water supports the muscles and the joints, and it allows people to move in a way that sometimes they can't move so freely on land. So anyone who is in pain, even walking in the pool is a brilliant way of exercising.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Marion, can you ask Jenny about foam rolling? Mm-hmm. And should you foam roll the lower back? Also, should you continue to golf if your back is sore?
So first thing, the foam roller, yes, we use them all the time. So a foam roller is a cylindrical piece of hard polystyrene, and you'll see people using them to try and release tension in their backs, in their leg muscles and in their buttock muscles. So really it can be used all over the body. But yes, you can absolutely foam roll your lower back. Sometimes.
And what is that? You just literally roll on it?
Yeah, you lie on the floor, bend up your two knees, and you put the foam roller underneath your back and you roll up and down along it. So if your arms are by your sides, you'll get a nice release. If your arms are raised over your head, you put a stretch on the muscles and then you roll through stretch muscles, so you'll feel it a little bit more. But yes, it's perfectly safe to foam roll your back.
And should she continue to, or he or she, I don't know which, continue to play golf if their back is sore?
It depends. So it depends on whether they're sore on each golf swing, if the problem is when they come right up into the backswing, or is it when they're coming as they follow through and hit the ball, or if they play golf fine and then they're absolutely feeling pain a few hours later. It depends on the pattern of pain that they have with the golf, whether they should or shouldn't continue.
How will they find that out?
So again, I would advise you to speak to your chartered physio. And
right.
If the pain is not stopping you from playing golf, but you feel very sore later and you're sore for a few days after, that's a pattern that we would need to intervene in.
Okay. Another said, I was advised by my physio to build my muscles in my lower back, but keep doing what I normally do, not to change my activity or how I work. The problem I had was a bulging disc issue, but that's the advice that you've already given.
Yeah.
Hi, Marion. I'd have had 20 years of back trouble. Well, for which my deepest sympathies. This is a man called Aidan. I've had 20 years of back trouble. My tips: 1, move; 2, try deal with stress; 3, yoga helps release tension; 4, don't despair. Oh, that's good. It can get better, but do change your life.
Well, Aidan, certainly I'm on the same page as you. So movement, absolutely. Stress is an interesting point, and tension and anxiety and stress that people build up in their lives often manifests as back pain. So he's absolutely right. You do need to de-stress. You do need to reduce that tension in your life, because often that will help with your back pain also.
And tell me about yoga and other activities you can do.
So yeah, absolutely. Yoga is a fantastic thing that you can do when you have, you know, at all, even when you don't have back pain. You should be always trying to maintain mobility in the joints. So from a flexibility point of view and just getting those muscles and joints moving to the extremes of the range, yoga is excellent for that, because when we just live our normal lives, we're going within this normal, comfortable range. We don't stretch out fully, and yoga is a great opportunity to do that.
And for your stomach muscles, they say Pilates.
So yeah, we talk about Pilates then as being a stabilizer for your postural muscles and your core stability, so your deep tummy muscles. But equally, you will get some benefit from yoga in that regard as well. But again, the benefits are just these movements that we wouldn't normally do in daily life.
And stretching.
Stretching and moving.
Okay. What about osteoporosis? I was looking at your figures. It's quite shocking how many people get osteoporosis.
It's really shocking, actually. And I think...
Just tell our listeners.
Yeah, so 1 in 5 men will get osteoporosis, and 1 in 3 women, and 1 in 2 of those women aged over 65 years of age will get osteoporosis. So the stats say that every 30 seconds, someone in the EU has a fracture as a result of osteoporosis. So they call it the silent disease, because a lot of people don't know they have it until they suffer their first fracture. So it's a really, really important message to get across. And that study that you're referring to, it brings osteoporosis into the headlines, which is really vital, because not enough people are talking about it. But yet there's a huge amount of people suffering from it, particularly in Ireland.
Right. Yeah, mind you, the study sample was with 14 women.
It was only with 14
women. Not
so, no, I mean, there are
impressive.
Quite a lot of limitations with this study. And in fact, the movement that they advise people to do, they advise people to jump up and down off the floor, and they advise people to jump down from an 8-inch box. So that's certainly not going to be suitable for people who are elderly, who potentially have osteopenia, which is the precursor to osteoporosis, or indeed if they have osteoporosis. The study also didn't measure bone mineral density, which is the thing that you measure when you're determining if somebody has osteoporosis or osteopenia. But again, because it brings it into the headlines, I would welcome that at least they're talking about it.
Right.
And certainly there's a lot more study in as regards that study that needs to be done.
And prevention?
So prevention is weight bearing. So again, they're on the right track with it, but weight bearing is the key, and walking is not enough weight bearing load to prevent it. It needs to be more than that. So dancing or jogging or, you know, skipping rope, or even they advise if you're mobile enough and your balance is good, you know, to run up and down a flight of stairs. So, you know, people in their 30s and 40s can do that very easily.
Right.
But if somebody's a bit older and their balance reactions are less, you need to be more careful in how you advise them to increase their load bearing.
Okay. Caller said, I injured my lower back in the gym lifting weights, and it's actually so depressing. Also getting mixed messages about rest versus movement has been very frustrating. Is it possible to recover fully from back pain? And I want to combine that with a lot of people will get out now, the days are getting a little bit longer. Training exercise, how do you protect against injuries?
So first of all, with your caller from the gym, I mean, yes, we don't advocate complete rest at all, because that allows your body to stiffen. It allows your muscles to weaken very quickly. So what we advise is active rest. So we try and get you moving, but in a slightly different way. So we might change your activity, or we might modify the activity that you already like to do. So for that lady in the gym, we would modify the weights that that person is lifting, but we'd still get them going to the gym and still participating in that activity.
Okay. Now, protecting yourself against injury before and after exercise.
So protecting yourself, I mean, you want to warm up first and foremost. You want to prepare your body for what you're trying to do. So if you've been sitting at a desk all day and then you want to try and run, you know, 5K, you must make sure you stretch your body and you open out those muscles and joints so you're preparing yourself for what you're about to do. You need to also make sure that you recover afterwards. So static stretching, where you're holding a stretch for 20 or 30 seconds after you've ran, for example, will help to reduce the stiffness you feel in your body the following day, right, and will allow your body to adapt to those changes that you're trying to make.
Right. Cool baths, ice baths?
Cool baths and ice baths. There's mixed research
no,
on
thank
those.
You. Yeah.
You'll see lots of pictures out there of Olympic athletes and rugby players and soccer players sitting in ice baths. The research is mixed on this. So a lot of it is anecdotal and a lot of it is what an athlete may have decided as part of their recovery strategy and that works for them.
Right.
So really, it depends. A lukewarm bath is generally advocated after you've had a long run. But again, you'll see people jumping into the sea after they've run the marathon. So that will do the job for them as well.
Some of this could be called masochism, but we will leave that there, Jenny. Thank you very much. Because as I say, people will be going out and about.
That's it, the weather being
hopefully
nice,
the weather will improve. And more on that, by the way, after this. And we'll take a break.